Welcome to Lack of Focus, an X-Wing miniatures game podcast brought to you by Dice 8 Productions. Hi, everyone, and welcome once again to another episode of Lack of Focus, The Whispering Mandalorian, Episode 12. I am your host, Ed Horn, and alongside me tonight, my partner in crime and gaming, one Mr. Chad Brown.
Hey, everybody.
The full crew is here, so we also have Sean Dorsey with us as well.
Good evening, guys.
You need your own little catchphrase, Sean. And our producer extraordinaire, one Mr. Chris Sheriff. Chris, how's it going?
Good, thanks, Ed.
All right, so episode 12, we're going to cover over a couple of things. I have games, or a game, to report, so we will have stuff in the flight deck that I can actually talk about. In the news, we've gotten a release for the Resistance A-Wing, which we're going to cover over that. There's some interesting stuff in that one. And in the main topic tonight, we are going to be covering where we feel X-Wing is now. We're a few months out of having the game been released. Games have been played, tournaments have been played. How do we feel about the game, first edition versus second edition? How does it feel? Does it feel different, better, worse? Where are we at? So we're going to cover all of that and a lot more coming up right after this. All right, we are back. And in the flight deck? Flight deck we do first, right? If I'm not, we're going to cover over the flight deck. I forgot my own order. In the flight deck, we're going to cover over the games we've been playing, matches we played, tournaments or events we've been in. I know Chad and I have kind of the same track, so maybe we'll save that towards the end. So, Sean, we haven't heard from you in a bit. Have you been flying anything lately, and what have you been doing?
Not in tournaments and not in a league yet, but I've actually been doing a lot of piloting at home, trying to get used to the medium base ship, so...
Those do seem to have their own little tricky feel to them, don't they?
They do. And actually, I'm flying three fire sprays now. So,
I can't wait to hear this list.
It's just three fire sprays. There's no jank to it at all. I'm just going to let it go with dice from the front, dice from the back, and win or lose, it's just a lot of dice coming your way. Right now, that's where I'm at. I got to learn to fly the game again before I can, even really think about building spectacular lists. It'll be fun. It'll be interesting. It's definitely a true 2.0 list, and it'll get eaten up against everybody that's playing extended. But if they're playing 2.0, I think it's a semi-competitive list.
So are you just running them naked?
Yeah. For now, yes. I will run them naked. There's not enough points really to do a lot with them when you get to three, but there'll be some other stuff as I go along with it. Just for right now, it's a change of pace, plus the dial change on the fire sprays.
It's fantastic.
It is. But I have to get used to, it used to be easy to figure out how to maneuver large base ships with one turns. It was really easy because you knew that your front corner and your rear, same side corner on the rear would line up. That's where you would end up. With these, it's a little bit different, and I haven't mastered them yet, but I'm working on it slowly, and I'm hoping to take it Tuesday to league night here in Omaha.
Well, good. You have to come back and report how you did with them. All right, Chris, I think you've been playing a ton more X-Wing than we have, so what have you been flying lately? Are you still running your Boba list?
No, I wanted something different after the Battle of Alberta, so I was running a tournament, and I always take a list in case there's odd numbers, so that, no one has to sit out with a bye. I still give them a bye, because I'm working in the store and stuff, so if I get called away, I don't want them to, suffer and, lose out on MOV or whatever, but they get the points for bye, and then we just play a game. So I played a couple of games with this, and it was Han Solo, bit of a nice fat Han, but in the scum faction, so he's flying Lando's Falcon.
It's a scummy fat Han.
Yeah. I wanted to see if I could roll six dice with a two attack dice ship. And the answer is if you give the opponent's agency, they just say no. So I was a little bit sad, but it was really good fun, actually. So the list is Han Solo in the Scum Falcon. So obviously, if he attacks with an obstructed attack, he rolls an additional die. And if he's defending when he's obstructed, he rolls an additional die. So I was like, trick shot. So that would take him up to four dice if he's obstructed. Then you throw on the Lando's Falcon title, where if they're stressed, you get to five dice. And then I thought, well, if you're at range one and all of that happens, it's six dice. So to facilitate stressing them, I threw on 000. And then everyone just says, it's okay, you can have a calculate token. It's like, oh, but I don't want to, just take the stress, man. Don't be mean. Come on, you know.
You want to enjoy that stress.
Yeah. So then I was like, oh, okay, well, if they're going to give me a calculate token, I'll put Lando on it because calculate's a green token. So you can spend the green token for some rerolls with scum Lando. So that was pretty good. And then I had points left over, so I threw BT1 as the gunner. And obviously engine upgrade. And I actually, on my list here, it says I had cluster missiles, but I think I forgot that. So yeah, I probably should have had a 7-point bid, since I never actually remembered that I had them. But yeah, that might have come in handy, actually. Cluster missile. Yeah, so it means you can shoot out the sides and the front. So yeah, that would have been good.
That would have been nice.
Then I had the autopilot drone for the escape craft, which I had. I never did anything too funky with it. Like, if you start with the drone out, you can burn down 2 charges. Then you ram the Falcon and redock, and then you can launch it out as a guided missile and still abuse the shield mechanic. But I,
oh, that's cool.
I wanted to just play it straight up because, like I said, I was they'd already won the game. They got the bye, so I didn't want to be too mean because I'm playing the people who were getting the bye.
Yeah, no, you're being a kind TO. Get that.
So it was good. I mean, I used it the same way every time. I just ate up the 2 shields that it gives you by being the escape craft docked to Lando's Falcon. You can spend it shields instead of your own when you take damage. So I'd do that, then launch it out and try and get a couple of coordinates before it exploded. And then for the second ship in the list, I went with Boba Fett with Slave 1. And I'd put Darth Maul, Maul crew on there, which pretty much felt like I paid 13 points for a force charge because there's no such thing as a dark side force upgrade. And every time Maul took damage, I either had not spent him or, like, it was the end of the round anyway. That was the last shot. So it was definitely just paying for a passive mod or a soft mod. But the list was fun. I never got to roll 6 dice at anyone. I was sure I'd achieved it. I was playing against a quad X-Wing list, and I thought I'd caught one of them and was going to get to roll the 6 dice with the dream, and it was just unobstructed, so it was only a 4-dice shot.
Aww. But
I played 2 games, and out of all of those games, I only rolled 1 2-dice attack with my 2-dice attack ship. So
that's not bad.
With Han and, you know, the Lando's Falcon ability, all of the other stuff, 000 and it works pretty well. It didn't feel like a 2-attack-dice ship. So, but yeah, I really enjoyed it. I feel like I would probably swap stuff around, maybe put Maul onto Han and 000 back onto Bubba. But I don't know, because it felt like Bubba Fett was the end game ship that was actually like doing the heavy lifting. So, no, it was good fun. I definitely enjoyed it. Flying the fat turrets was interesting. I can't believe I forgot I had cluster. I only realized now when I was looking at my list to run it down. So I'm a little bit...
Oh, man, I totally forgot I did that.
That would have helped a lot. But yeah, it was good fun.
All right, so Chad, I know you and I got 1 game in. Do you have any other games other than that one you want to talk about before we go on to ours?
That game of Squash the Noob I played? No, I think that was the only one I actually did get a chance to get in. Went to game night and basically everybody was playing in a 40K league. Nobody was playing X-Wing there. So Ed showed up.
Yeah, Kill Teams was released. So everyone was playing Kill Teams in the Kill Team League. Although I am told that the X-Wing League is starting up here in a week or two.
Yeah. So the 40K thing, it was an escalation thing where they do Kill Teams for like a week or two. And then they move to like regular 40K games. It's some kind of escalation thing that they're doing, but
that sounds kind of cool,
I don't
actually
think it was lasting very, very long. It wasn't like a long run for that league going. So that's why a week or two does sound about proper for the X-Wing League. But yeah, it was a game of squash the noob, I felt.
Do you want to run down your list? Because you had a surprise for me when I showed up to game night that night.
So I had Rexler Brath with Juke. Surprise, surprise. I flew an Omicron Group pilot with Emperor Palpatine on it because I wanted to see, you know, all how this shuttle was going to compare to the Reaper, you know, just to see which one I liked better. And then I flew another ship with Juke, and it was, oh, what was that piece of crap's name? Whisper.
Whisper. I was so surprised when he comes up, as we're skidding around, he's like, I've got a list for you. I'm like, well, good. I hope you have a list. He's like, no, I've got a list for you. I'm like, oh, okay, something special. He's trying something new. And here it turns out you're actually flying Whisper to see if all the hype is worth it, at least from your end. And your evaluation of that one?
Whisper sucks.
Okay, so it didn't help. So first of all, I should probably run the list.
I recloaked once.
Well, I don't think she lasted that long either. That was,
there was about three rounds, and I think two of them I had to spend my evade token once shooting started.
That's what it was.
I had to spend the evade token twice, so it was like, oh, I didn't get to recloak. The maneuverability was completely taken out of her. It was not something I cared for, and I never once got to shoot out the back of that Lambda shuttle.
I did. I know I did. But anyways, let me get into my list real quick. I too ran an Omicron Group pilot. I ran a very World 2015-esque list. I ran Fel Vader Palpatine. So I ran
an Omicron Group. He didn't run Vader the way he should have run Vader.
No, I did not put supernatural reflexes on it because my determination on that one, of course, is that I'm not very good right now and that all of that would just be wasted on me. So I did run an Omicron Group with Emperor Palpatine. I did run Soontir Fel with Juke. Can't tell you the number of times I forgot to actually use Soontir's ability to the point that everyone felt bad for me. Like, don't forget Soontir's ability. Don't forget Soontir's ability. It didn't matter. It didn't make much of a difference. And I did run Lord Vader, of course. He was with advanced sensors and the sense force power, which I got to use quite a bit, actually. And was super helpful to be able to, because one of the things when I play Chad is that I never know where he's going to go. I think I know, and then he goes left or right, or he does whatever the exact opposite of what I thought he was going to do. So it did come in handy quite a few times.
You only used it a couple times, I think, though.
Well, after that, I didn't really need to, because all that was really left was the Defender, and we knew what we were going to do with the Defender. 4K, 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 4K. It was...
Whisper went down pretty quick. My shuttle went down.
And that was where I think I made my mistake. When I established target priority in that game, I felt that Whisper was the higher threat than Rex was, and I was wrong. I was dead wrong.
Because I lost Whisper, I lost my shuttle, and then you lost everything
else. Like, quite legitimately, when his shuttle went down, Whisper went down relatively early, about third or fourth turn in the game, she was done, because that was where I focused all my fire on. I then made the choice, like, well, I'd like to get Palpatine off the board so that it's just the Defender and the rest of my ships, and I should be able to mop this up. And I do that, I take the shuttle off the board, so I think I had, Vader was down to two hull at that point.
Something like that.
Soontir had not been touched, and my shuttle had a few shields blown off at that point. And then Rex goes on to take over the entire game. Takes down Vader, takes down the shuttle, and then it's, I'm Soontir and I'm going after you, but I can't outmaneuver a Defender no matter where I go. I made some little twists and turns to get a couple of shots on, but then I still needed to keep the evades up so that, because I was getting shot back. It was ridiculous. So lesson learned, take down the Defender first. It's a ton of fun. It was a great time. I enjoy playing the game. I love playing the game, so it doesn't really matter to me whether I win or lose. But to get up three ships to one, and I really felt that I had that one in hand. I mentally, in my head, I was already like, all right, this one's over. We're going to move on to the next game. I'm going to try a different list. And no, we never got there, because it just became a lesson in how to evade shots and how to not fly Lord Vader.
So another problem that came in with you is the fact that you're running Soontir and you're pulling off the, okay, do this, that pops into this, take a stress. You take that stress, I automatically know you're doing a blue maneuver the next turn. So I can plan my maneuvers to counteract that, or, you know, if I K-turn behind you and you end up pulling something and you want to barrel roll and boost and now you're stressed, it's like I can follow you a little bit easier. And yeah, you still don't know the proper procedure when it comes to boosting and barrel rolling, which one to do first.
Yeah, that is true. I got into a position where still I was hoping to get trying to get a range one shot on Rex where he wasn't going to get a shot back to me, and I boosted and I bumped. And since I'd already declared it, the barrel roll wasn't going to help. And it just, I gave away free range one shots with a focus token. It was painful to watch. What that tells me simply is I just need to play more. Legitimately, I need to start making it out to the game store more, get more time on the table, and get some more games in. But fun list, had a good time.
So everything I've been telling you for the past who knows how many months, you're finally agreeing to.
Yes, absolutely.
You need to get out and play more.
I need to get out and play more. 100% agree. So my plan, of course, is we are late in recording this, and I'm going to be at the game store here in a couple of days, and I will try that list one more time and see how it goes.
I'll bring more defenders.
Sounds good. I was trying to squeeze in the old Rex Riad Palpatine list, like the Palp defenders, but it doesn't work. There's just not enough points to be able to get it to make effective. So,
what do you want to do, Chad? Just try running Rex with the homing missile, because the attack counts as hitting if they choose to take the one damage. So if it gets to one damage to hull, it's a crit. Yep. Because Rex shot it and hit. So it makes that choice to let you roll a four attack dice a lot harder.
Don't give him any ideas. The list is dirty enough as it is.
Look, I can fly ships. I can't roll dice necessarily well, but I can fly.
Are you a homing missile? Do you want me to roll four dice at you, or do you just want to take one hit? Oh, it's a crit, by the way.
Yeah.
Just so you know. So yeah, we got some games and we had some fun. So, but I will give it another whack on Tuesday night to see how it goes on game night. So, unless anyone's got anything else, I think that is going to cover it for the flight deck.
Whisper sucks.
Okay, so there is one question I want to ask you before we roll out. Now that I'm thinking about it, so you mentioned that you were trying out the shuttle versus the Reaper for the Palp carrier. What was your evaluation on it? I mean, as far as the shuttle was concerned.
The shuttle kind of felt like it did before for me. I didn't act, like I said, I never actually had a spot where you were behind it. So I never got those rear shots off with it. Be like, haha, I can still shoot you. You can't follow me now. Never actually had that situation come up. So I'm kind of maybe going to play it in another game or two to see if that scenario actually does come up. If I think it's a much better, you know, feel if, you know, that threat exists that I can still shoot you even though you're behind me. Do you prioritize towards it and its shots, or do you prioritize towards other ships that might be bearing down on you? I'm going to give it a couple more games.
It's interesting to me that you say it that way, because I felt the exact opposite. I felt it was really cool to have that ability to fire those two shots out the rear, and mine came up quite a bit. And since Palpatine hadn't spent his token during the course of that time period, I was always rolling a crit on top of it. It did come into play a few times, and I thought that was a fantastic addition to the ship. For all intents and purposes, it flies the same, but I definitely got more shots with it than I normally would have.
It came up as a thing for you, but it never came up for me. So I want to actually see a game where I'm getting shots out the back and, you know, that kind of a thing before I make my full assessment on it. I mean, obviously the Reaper's way more maneuverable, but like I said, I want to see my shuttle take some shots out the back, and what's the target priority when it's getting that option? Do you look at it? Do you look at something else? Do you take its shots and block something else? I just want to see that aspect in play.
I think what I might do, I took the generic Omicron group, and then I had like 6 or 7 points for a bid. I think I might bump it up to one of the named pilots, because the generic one was okay, but I think that there are some named pilots in there that I could have taken advantage of that I just didn't do because I was trying to go for a bid.
Vader and Fell to move second, did you?
Well, no. And that was my line of thinking as well. It's like I wanted to make sure that they were moving last so that it could outmaneuver, which is exactly how it worked out. It did in the beginning. And then the second half of the game, Rex took over and it was just over.
If you're going Vader and Fel as your two ships with Palp, if you're not moving second, you've just wasted your time.
Yeah, and that was my line of thinking with the list as well.
My shuttle did move before yours.
Yeah. Especially if you're going to look at going to Supernatural Vader after a little while as well, because you need the points to get Supernatural in there. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know, man. I feel like you're going to be pretty tight on points as it is.
Well, I'm debating actually changing Fell out. He was okay, but I think I still want to keep Vader. I still like the idea. It was really neat to see the synergy between Vader and having his ability to soft modify dice and then kind of having Palpatine in your back pocket. And I don't feel that Fell felt the role that I needed him to fit. So I might try something else to fill that instead. So I may have the points after all.
Chatting with a couple of guys from Edmonton who, when we're at the event and stuff, and some of the Imperial players are, Inquisitor seems pretty strong. And
that was my next choice, yep.
Is kind of slipping under a radar as well.
Yeah, that was my next choice as well. Like, very similar to how it worked out, Wave 4, Wave 5, that kind of thing in first edition, how the Inquisitor pushed Vader out so you had more points to do with him. I think it's going to be the same thing. So I think when I bring it up on Tuesday, I think I might be running the Inquisitor instead. So, in any case, so that is going to cover the flight deck. We're going to move on to the news right after this. All right, we're back. And in the news, we've had a light news week. Of course, of the holidays, they've been kind of light on news, but they did let out an article for the RZ2 A-Wing. I'm told that's the proper way of saying that.
We're American. RZ2. We should say Z.
Thank you. So we did get a glimpse of how this one's going to work. It actually functions, in my opinion, the way that an A-Wing is supposed to, you know, with that rotating firing arc that goes from the front and back. So, Chad, since you haven't looked at the article, I'll be more than happy to read off the generic stats of the RZ2. And that is...
That's prep stuff. I don't do that.
Yeah, that would be crazy. So, it does come with two attack dice, and that is on a rotating either front or rear arc. Three evade, two hull, two shields. Comes with a focus, evade, target lock, barrel roll, and boost. And refined gyro stabilizers is the baked in ability. You can rotate your arc indicator to only your front or rear, and after you perform an action, you may perform either a red boost or a red rotate action. So there's a lot packed into that little ship, I can tell you that.
Is the dial still pretty much the same?
So, fair question. I am looking at that article right now. The dial, you're looking at one hards are white. Everything in the two band is blue. It does come with a three sloop. All of the three straights and three banks are blue, with three hards being white, a blue four and a blue five with a 5K K-turn as well. So, super maneuverable. A lot of blue on that dial.
It sounds about right, because in first edition, the A-Wing had the green five straight, whereas the Interceptor had a white five straight. So they both had the sloops added to them, and it's still retaining its blue five straight over the Interceptor's white five straight. So, yeah, it's basically on par for the dial.
No complaints about being able to retain its 5K turn?
I mean, I would love to, but...
It gained the barrel roll,
yeah.
Chad.
Yeah.
It did. It gained a barrel roll.
I just look at it as it's not Empire, so I don't care for it.
You're just gonna blow it up.
Although I will have to admit, I probably will care about the Separatists when those come out, and I probably will look into playing some of that. So.
Oh, really? I was gonna ask you about that, because I think you were unfortunately absent from that particular show. On which of those two from the were you on with the?
No, I was on that one. Yeah.
Okay, because we never really had that.
But I'm here when I'm not.
Yeah, I should have asked you about it today while you're here for the game, but we were too busy watching the Steelers lose to the Broncos that we did not chance to talk about X-Wing at all today.
Yeah, because I once again brought up Anakin Skywalker and Naboo Starfighter, and Chris said that I have to play that with how much I've made fun of it, so.
Yeah, well. So we did get a comment on the show about, you know, like the prequels hate getting old. I don't feel like I hate the prequels. I'm not a fan of the casting decisions or performance of Anakin Skywalker. You know, I can appreciate the nuance of a political, slow-paced build-up. And, you know, but Anakin Skywalker could die in a fire and I wouldn't really mind.
He almost did.
Like his uncle,
Uncle Owen and Aunt
brother,
Peru.
Brother-in-law Owen and Aunt Peru.
So I can tell you that they have refined with age, considering, well, I guess there's only really one of the Disney Star Wars movies I'm not a huge fan of. I think I've made that blatantly obvious in public. Admittedly, episode one's really difficult to get through. It really is for me because I felt like that was one of the rare ones that I wasn't a huge target audience for because it was very kid-oriented with a lot of poop and fart jokes, which I did not appreciate in a Star Wars movie. But it gave us easily the coolest Sith character outside of Darth Vader that we'd ever seen on film in Darth Maul. So I kind of take it as a plus and minus. Admittedly, he's only on the screen for like 8 minutes, but they are an amazing 8 minutes.
And the coolest sword fights music you'll ever have.
Oh, God, yeah.
Duel of Fates is beyond anything in any movie as far as for the intensity and that scene and everything else. That's those doors opening up and it's opening up with the music. Unreal.
It gives me chills. It gives me chills even thinking about it.
That's what saves the movie for me is the Darth Maul lightsaber scenes. The rest of it, in fact, you know, all the prequels to me are between space battles and lightsaber fights. You could probably give up the rest. Maybe some Obi-Wan, you know, there's a lot of cool Obi-Wan in there.
You don't want to sell the Death Sticks.
But I think, though, that in X-Wing, I think it's a need to bring in, you know, a prequel feel to the game. You know, there's a lot of people that want it. Everybody wants to fly Anakin and do his spinny things, you know. I know that that's what everybody's driving for. So I think it'll be a good thing. It'll just be a different thing. It'll be different. But with 2.0.
There was so much history, though, especially in the Clone Wars TV show. And I recognize that it wasn't a Disney property, but there was so much cool stuff that you could have brought into the game of X-Wing that definitely belonged there. It was definitely a niche for filling into all that spot. I know the Clone Wars is canon.
So it is a Disney thing. It's canon. That's why
I just don't understand why it wasn't done originally as Disney.
Yeah, I just never understood why FFG didn't go down that route because it would have been a real cool addition. However, we do get it. It is
Disney said no.
Big Mouse
for a while.
They put Clone Wars era stuff in other games that FFG produced, but not X-Wing.
Right.
Anyway, that's not the RZ. That's not the RZ too. So. Wouldn't be a lack of focus if we didn't go off the trails just a hair. So we're going to go over some of the pilots that came out. Greer Sunil, I hope I pronounced that correct. After you execute a maneuver, you may rotate your arc. So that is basically giving it a three actions that you could pull off because you can execute a maneuver fully. You can rotate for free based on his ability. And in the baked-in ability of the A-Wing, you could boost after. So that's a super maneuverable, able to get off the angles on the shot kind of thing. I really like that. Now, he does come in at initiative 4, so he's not the highest of the A-Wings, but I could see this coming in on a lot of areas.
So the thing to remember about this one is that it isn't an action. It's so you just may rotate it. So you can still do it.
Ooh, that's even better.
So you can't rotate and then do a boost off this one. But you could rotate, then move to perform action step, do one of your actions, and then do your boost, or rotate again. Because it's not an action.
I don't. But can you still do it? Do they still allow that to pull? Because I always thought that even if you were given an action, you couldn't do it twice.
It's like being assigned a focus token compared to performing a focus action.
You wouldn't. That's a fair argument.
Like, when are you ever going to do it? Right. But technically, you can rotate it back, focus, and then rotate it front. I honestly don't know why you would, but...
Yeah.
So the funny thing about this card is I was looking at the article to do a quick video for Dice 8 on it, and I was like, how do you rotate? They can't rotate the action. Because I'd read it, and I just assumed it was boost or barrel roll after performing an action. So I was like, look, it took me like 10 minutes to figure out how you actually got to rotate.
Yeah, because it's not in the action bar.
And the weird thing is, it didn't even bother me. It's like, it just means you can point it forward or back and then it's walked there for the entire game. I don't mind. We're pointing backwards anyway. Screw you. Come and catch me.
So yeah, no, it is baked in. It's basically a linked action for everything on the action bar for the A-Wing, for all intents and purposes.
Yeah.
So the next pilot, Initiative 5, Lulu Lempar. This is a weird one for me. When you defend or perform a primary attack, if you are stressed, you must roll one fewer defense die or one additional attack die. Meaning...
choose the attack die, everyone.
Yeah, exactly. You're going to choose the attack die. Like, when would you would never choose the fewer defense dice? The only other situation that would come up would be if... like, how do they say
you've got to do both.
Oh, you have to do both.
Yeah.
It doesn't say you must.
Yeah. You must roll one fewer defense die. So
you don't choose when.
No.
Always.
Yeah. So if you had infinite space on the card is while defending or performing a primary attack, if you are stressed, you must roll one fewer defense die whilst defending and one additional attack die whilst attacking.
Yeah, that makes much more sense. Because I read that and tripped up on it, going like, why would I ever choose?
It's badly written, but it's both, man. Yeah, it's like, oh, okay, you're shooting at me. All right, well, I chose attack die, sorry.
You know someone's going to try to do that, though.
Yeah.
So yeah, for all intents and purposes, it's a three attack die A-Wing, but it's going to sacrifice the defense dice for that. Now, if you're in a position where you're not going to get shot back, that's not so bad.
Even if you are going to get shot back with an initiative of 5, you're still going to shoot first.
Oh.
So if you're range 1, it's a 4 dice attack at that point. If you can find a way to get a focus or something, or have a target lock on a ship prior to being stressed... you're in a pretty good position at that point, I think. A good A-Wing shooting 4 dice at anything is kind of a dangerous thing for another ship, but if you can find a way to modify your dice, you'll be pretty well off. You know, I mean, I don't know what the cost of this ship will be, but it can't be that great. It's an A-Wing.
Right, exactly.
I like to think of her as a chase me A-Wing. I'm going to K-turn in front of you. Now I'm going to roll my 4 dice. Oh, but look, I only rolled 2 agility. You probably want to shoot me. Oh, you've done damage to me now. Best finish me off. Hope I don't have a boy 5 straight and boost.
Very good point. All very good points. So it did come up with another upgrade as well, which is Prime Thrusters. When you have 2 or fewer stress tokens, you can perform a barrel roll and a boost action even while stressed. Now, we're going to assume that's either or, not. Okay,
so there is a caveat to how FFG uses symbols now. They actually use them as hieroglyphs. So it's all right. So you're not. It's you can perform a barrel roll action and the boost action. That symbol means the barrel roll action or the boost action. I was talking about this with the arcs as well, because people, when I was running the tournament, one of the guys was trying, this is going to be a tangent as well, Sean might enjoy this, but, so someone was playing Dengar, so people who don't remember, the Jumpmaster 5000 doesn't have a printed arc on its ship, it only has the turret. So someone was flying Dengar, and was like, well... surely I can use Fearless because I'm firing, as long as I'm firing out my front arc. So, no, because it references your front arc attack. And it's that the symbols is a replacement for the words front arc or rear arc or side, left arc or right arc or turret arc or barrel roll action, boost action. If you think of them as hieroglyphs, it's actually, I find it really elegant if you've never played X-Wing 1.0.
Yeah, no, now that you've said that, when you sit down and think about that, you're right. If you look at that symbol and say the boost action and the barrel roll action or the primary firing arc or this auxiliary firing arc, when you think of it that way and represent that symbol represents multiple words, it makes much more sense.
Yeah, and if you've never played 1.0, it's really elegant and works. If you bring any preconceived like anything from 1.0 into 2.0, it screws you up and you don't know how anything works. But
and it's actually create great arguments. It'll actually create great at the table arguments and tournaments.
Oh, absolutely.
So now you've got to learn to read hieroglyphs.
I know, right?
You know, so like bird, eyeball, wavy lines, guy do a weird thing with his hands, beetle, bird, bird, if you get that joke.
And barrel action.
And barrel action. Where's Belinda Carlisle when you need her? Speaking of Bengals, Zuri Bengal is going you couldn't have written that one up better. Initiative 3 pilot skill. You do not skip your perform action step after you partially execute a maneuver, meaning you can still bump into things and still be able to perform your actions. Now, that includes obstacles, if I'm not mistaken, correct?
So, no. You currently, the way 2.0 is ruled, is worded, you complete your, the only way to partially execute a maneuver is to bump into a ship. You complete a maneuver when you fly over an obstacle.
Right.
So I believe, I might be wrong, I've not sat down and read it all properly, but like defenders get the evade if they fly over an obstacle. As long as they fully...
Yeah, we actually had that argument on Tuesday night.
Yeah, they fully execute the maneuver. That's defined now as moving from one end of a template to the other end of a template and not stopping on the template. So running over obstacles is not like helped in any way by Zuri Bengal.
So this is sort of how Arvel used to work, except Arvel could still do the attacks back then.
Yeah, so... this one, the way I see it is like, and again, it's a terrible initiative step for it to move at if you want to do anything like this, but you can use it to be a blocker, bump into someone and focus or evade so that his friends can't kill you. Or if you out-initiative them and are moving afterwards, you can bump into someone who tried to block you, barrel roll off them, and have a range one shot, or you can boost through someone.
So there's another option on that one too. So you could fly into someone and bump them intentionally so that they can't shoot back at you. Take the focus action, take the linked action to point your arc in the back and still get shots at something behind you and not get shot from the front.
Yeah.
So yeah, no, that's super utility. I like that.
But I don't like the initiative step it sits at. Because you can't build your list around it doing either one of those things. You can't build it to be the blocker who's always going to have an evade token or a focus token, and because you might be too high initiative. You can't build it around being the ace who's always going to it is impossible to block because you might sit too low on initiative.
This is just Arvel revisited.
Yeah. So and that ironically, Arvel's now good. Arvel's now better than he was, but they've kind of made the same mistake again. I don't. But as long as you're not trying to build too many points into it, I feel like it'll still be interesting and fun. But hyper competitive, I don't really know.
Middle of the road ships. I mean, they all can't be winners and losers. There's need to be middle of the road.
Yeah. Exactly. That's what I was going to say. My analogy was going to be, it's just another tool in the toolbox.
The back of the book still needs to be filled up no matter which version you're playing.
All right. For the initiative 5, we have Talisan Lintra. While an enemy ship is in your bullseye firing arc, performs an attack, you may spend one energy token if you do the defender rolls one additional die. That is a rechargeable energy token on this one, so that's actually really good and could proc potentially every turn.
No.
You still have to, why not?
Bullseye arc only faces forward, doesn't it?
Yes.
So it wouldn't be every turn if they're behind you.
Well, no, and that's true. I'm saying you could potentially envision the situation where this is a flanker hitting at range 3 trying to hit shots, but you've got another one of your buddies that's within your bullseye firing arc that you can get them an additional die. I'm not saying it's going to proc every turn.
So the other thing about this as well, it doesn't necessarily... They talk about it in the article, like helping resistance bombers and stuff, mm-hmm. but it doesn't actually say another ship. While an enemy ship in your bullseye performs an attack, you may spend your charge. If you do, the defender rolls an additional dice. You can be their defender.
Are you in your bullseye?
Because the enemy is
going to... attacker's in your bullseye.
So you can joust someone and just be like, yeah, I'll roll four dice.
What? I did not read it that way. That's slick. I didn't think about that.
Yeah, while an enemy ship in your bullseye performs an attack, you may spend your charge. If you spend your charge, the defender rolls one additional dice. It doesn't say another friend. Like, there's nothing about another. It has to be someone else.
That can be it.
Yeah. Yeah, so you could be the defender. If
only you could put Prockets on her as well.
Oh, no, wait, that's in the list too, but we've already seen Prockets, so I didn't actually cover
it. Ironically, the article doesn't talk about Prockets with this ship. It talks about Prockets with Zari, who, because they say, oh, you can focus and then fire your Prockets. Yeah, you can, just not at the person you bumped, because Prockets are range 1, not range 1 to 2, range not zero. Range 0 to 2. So,
that's a shame.
Yeah, if it were range 0...
If only.
The one that you can increase an attack die and decrease your defense, is that just on primary attacks?
Yes. Okay. Double check, so I'm not lying to you. Yeah, when you perform a primary attack.
Okay, I couldn't remember. So, yeah, all right. I was just curious. I'm like, is that going to help Prockets? But no, it doesn't, so.
So they also have a title, sort of an upgrade. It's resistance only, so it does show a T-70 in there and not necessarily the A-Wing.
It's a tech slot, isn't it?
Yeah, that would be the tech slot. You're right. Title. For some reason, I looked at that and thought, for whatever reason, I thought title, and that's wrong. but
very few titles in second edition.
Ferrosphere Paint. Well, okay, so to take a quick aside, the reason why there's very few titles in the game now is because they now have baked-in abilities. That's right. Really what those title slots were meant for.
Yeah, when the titles are now for named ships.
Right, oddly
like
enough.
Like Ray's Falcon.
Or Black One.
Ray's Falcon, specifically.
Yeah, I don't... Ugh, you're really going to... How is Look, it not
if Chad
Falcon?
Can taunt me about Anakin... in a Naboo Starfighter, yes. I can fly Ray's Falcon all day long.
Chewie's I support you.
Oh, he's been the co-pilot of the Falcon for 30 years. Why is he
too busy eating pogs to put his, you know?
Because he didn't get the promotion.
I guess not. He got passed by. Poor Chewie.
There Leia is no space him. Affirmative action for Chewie.
Leia passes him by and hugs Rey first, and then, oh, by the way, here's the keys of the Falcon. No wonder he's so upset.
Exactly.
Anyway, so Ferrosphere Paint, after an enemy ship locks you, if you are not in that ship's bullseye arc, that ship also gains a stress token. That sort of feels like Rebel Captain, almost.
It sounds really good, as long as it costs, like, 1 point.
Yeah, that was what I was going to say, too. You'd really want it to be kind of cheap.
If you think, like, Resistance ships have to cost more than Rebel ships, or else no one will ever play Rebels.
Correct.
And then, if all you're doing is...
Because every one of their things is better than the base models from the Rebels.
Yeah, so I don't know that... I don't know. It's interesting, there's agency in it in that you can just not take the lock action if you don't want stress. It can really screw over some obvious Alpha Strike lists and things like that. But I don't feel like it's not really a stress control build. It's just a neat little extra function.
Well, I think that's about it covering that.
I did want to point out that the image that they use for Tisan Lintra's ability triggering defending the resistance bomber. It does show a resistance bomber in the shot as well, and on the top down view there is an initiative 1 and it has a primary firing arc printed on the base.
Oh, does it now?
Yeah.
How did I miss that?
So ships that have turrets tend not to have a primary firing arc.
That is a good point. I did not notice that. Very good catch.
So interesting. That will be interesting.
If you played the game more, Ed, you'd notice.
I just didn't notice it in the article.
To be honest, people don't see it because you're that used to seeing it, the primary firing arc colored in anyway from first edition. But second edition bases don't, if it doesn't have a primary arc, it doesn't have it colored in. Like the A-wing in the same shot doesn't have it colored in because it doesn't have a primary firing arc. It only has its turreted arc. And like at the in-flight report, they spoke about everything that had turrets is like having them converted to bow tie type things. So I don't know what happened to Resistance Bomber. It's got a primary firing arc.
So that should be... Yeah, no, I didn't... I just looked past it, never even thought about it. You're right. So I guess we'll see how that goes. All right, so that is going to cover the news. I think we're just going to slide into the main topic here right after this. So we'll catch up to you right after that. All right, we're back. And in the main topic tonight, we are going to take our evaluation of second edition versus first edition a few months after the fact. We've been playing some games. We've seen some ships, we've seen some combos, and we're trying to get a feel for how we feel the game. Has it improved? Is it better? Is it worse? Do we like the changes? Do we not like the changes? Where we're feeling about the game. So I know mine's super brief, so I'm going to save mine to the end, and I'll probably just camp on to everyone else's. Sean, I'll throw it in your general direction. Things you like and things you don't like so far about second edition.
Well, a couple things I like about second edition. I like the quick build cards. I think that's a good concept to have.
That's super cool. I do really enjoy that too.
Looking back in my past X-Wing life, you know, that's good for new players. It allows to create a quick balance game, or at least a remotely quick balance game that new players can get into. It'll be different when that's a tool being used as far as tournaments go or gameplay goes, but I think that was a great addition to it. Just make it simple, make it easy. You know, you're playing these many points, or you're playing this, whatever the threat is, or however you want to look at it, and there you have quick builds. I like the second edition part of the game.
Sean, real quick, to camp onto that thought process too, I like that there are two different tracks. Since we've kind of separated out into, we have those quick play cards, there's also an entire track that you can play at events for FFG that are just focused specifically on that. So if your sole interest in the game is just rolling dice, having fun, and the whole idea of a competitive meta and what ships are good and what ships aren't isn't part of your game, and you just want to roll ships and have fun, there's a track for you in OP that allows you to play that way. And I think that is super cool in combination with those.
There's also a track you can use in league play, which what I would call is blind draft. So what I would do if I were still running a league, I would have weeks, and not every week, of course, but 1 week, a month, or whatever, where everybody brings a list, and that list is based upon a quick build card. And then you throw them all in a pile and basically draw them, and then you play those. So you can even play blind to force people to play outside their comfort zone. I think with the quick builds, there's still play in that comfort zone that they have for the game. Second part, I really enjoy, like I was saying, the 2.0 version of 2.0. I like the fact that though there's limiting factors in it, you can't take the game out into the big picture game that the extended is. It'll allow for more of a restrictive environment. And as waves release, it'll be a good thing because that pool of ships will build, and it'll be, you know, being a person who started with the game wave one, wave two, wave three, you know, there is a limit. You know, it was a very limited game back then, but this game actually seems they kind of took the original 1.0 wave one, wave two setup and made a better release on it. You have three ships that you can utilize. It's just better. In my opinion, it's just a better way to release it. And it's a more fun game. It takes it. This game right now to me is a game of flying if you're playing 2.0. I cannot stand the extended game. And I'll be 100% frank about that. I think it's just 1.0 on steroids with some changes made. But the games I've seen are boring games. You know, I haven't seen much of a change. I watch a lot of games on YouTube, actually, when people post games and things like that. It's uninteresting to me. It just reminds me at the end of X-Wing 1.0, when I still see a lot of bombs, I still see a lot of people coming with some janky list. Now, it's not as janky in that, you know, you have, you know, three ships that can just do amazing things, but it's still a pretty boring game. That's just my opinion about it. I thoroughly enjoy the second edition. I've played one second edition tournament. I will play more as time goes on, but I probably will stay away from extended events. It's just, it's not, I mean, I'll still pay attention to them, don't get me wrong, but playing wise, you know, if I go, I would still bring a second edition list. And I always hear people say, well, second edition can compete. Not really. You know, I've seen it. It's not, it doesn't, you know, there's too much in extended that makes second edition pretty weak in how you can play it. But that's just my personal opinion. You know, it's still an enjoyable game, and I like the fact that you have to fly ships again in second edition and not have the easy mode that a lot of, and I know that it wasn't easy mode. There's a lot of skill in bomb placement and missiles and things and torpedoes and all that. But when it comes down to it, though, there isn't as much skill as you really think. The 2.0 making people have to fly again. I love the addition of the bullseye arc as a common arc for a lot of ships. That was a great idea. I like that they finally put force into the game, and not doing it kind of the way
how they put
force yes, into the exactly. game. Yes, exactly. It's not an unlimited resource. It's not a use it will kind of like the force seemed to be moving towards in 1.0 or the game was moving towards. But I like how they did that. I love charges. I love the fact that they added charges to bombs and missiles so that most things aren't just infinite. In the game, I like the fact that we're seeing new pilots. You know, it's not the same ones regurgitated over and over. So that's kind of my take on it right now. Without playing it enough, as far as it's still X-Wing, though, you're still moving the ships, you're still spinning a dial, you're still doing everything you need to do, and you still have to think through things and play against your opponent. That's great. That's still the fun and exciting part. You know, just not a fan of extended.
I did want to address one point from that, Sean. I know you said that second edition format can't really compete with extended on a like-for-like basis. I definitely think that depends on the faction at the moment. Like, the scum ships that are doing really well are pretty much in second edition, like Fenrir, Boba Fett are all really strong. Obviously, when you get to Rebels, there's a lot of X-Wings going around. I think there's near enough every very, very few Rebel lists don't field an X-Wing, even in Extended. The Imperials are probably a faction that suffers the most from the second edition restrictions. But I feel like if you're only looking for... Is
that because Whisper's the best Imperial ship? At least it seems that way.
Well, you've got Whisper, you've got Redwine... you've got a lot of power in the Imperial list, is unlike the Striker, is an exceptionally cheap three dice attack, and it synergizes stupidly well with Sloane's ability. In the same way, I always forget her name, Adrea Raphael Swarm for Scum, the Scum Y Wing that effectively is Hellrunner's ability on crack. Yes. With Hellrunner, if you stay close to her and all fly together, you know, fly near this three health ship, you get to reroll a die. Oh, this Y-Wing that's got a 4-point turret on it, if I point it at you, all of my generics get rerolls. Yes, thank you. especially when you've got like the quad jumper. But that's definitely like a scum extended list, which is really, really strong. But
going back to your original point, though, Chris, is really what it is, a scum has ships that can compete. It's not across the board, though. It's not a 2.0 across the board.
No.
Where you can run Rebel or you can run, you know, Imperials currently. Now, yeah. as time goes on, those will catch up, you know. Extended lists will have difficulty with, at least my hope is that with Rebels and Imperials, they'll have some difficulty. At least they'll be competitive in that regard. But right now, yeah, you're right, scum, but I look at it as a whole, you know.
Yeah.
I view it as a whole. It's not...
I suppose what I mean by that is, if you are a really competitive player who, for some reason, doesn't want to buy conversion kits, I feel like you can still make a viable squad in 2.0 to compete in extended. It just means that at the moment you probably have to fly scum.
Right, and I would agree with that. I do think that that's a great point. You know, it's you can do some things with, you know, like 4 or 5 Y wings because it's just a lot of hit points to chew through. But you have to get pretty lucky and in a lot of ways with your attack dice and, you know, doing a lot of things probably actionless or not in prime, you know, prime action oriented.
I just wanted to say, I'm in a couple of the different group chats with some of the other podcast people, and people are like, Selfless is really good. And I'm like, yeah, yeah. Me and Sean have been talking about that since 2.0 was announced, that like Selfless Y-Wings are pretty broken. Biggs is pretty good. If you want to make your opponent not have a good time, Rebels are probably the faction for you, but everyone's too busy taking Wedge and Luke to actually Wedge and Fane to actually realize.
Yeah, it's a great point. You know, it's, Selfless is definitely a card that does help out, but at the end of the day, you're still just wild things, you know, and that's where it becomes the difficulty. I think that there'll be a lot of growth. You know, like I've already stated, there'll be a lot of growth as the game goes on. And actually, I'm going to be the person that buys, instead of relying on all of the ships that I have, I'm actually going to buy the second edition stuff, at least one of, so that I have the one of ship. Like I bought a fire spray. I have 7 fire sprays, so that made it number 8.
Oh, but at least. Geez.
But at least I got to remember, I was buying for 2 people. So,
yeah.
You know, and I don't know why. I think I have 6 now, 7. But I do think I sold 1 maybe or 2. I can't remember. I'll have to go look at my bins that I have them in. But that's the thing is, like, you know, it's just for 2.0, it's going to be fun as 2.0 moves on. You know, I actually can't wait for Resistance. I can't wait for First Order, even though I probably won't get much into the First Order faction. But the thing I like about 2.0, and this is probably my favorite thing, is that they split that. It's now Imperials and First Order. It's Rebels and Resistance separate, which would be cool because I can't wait to see what they put out then for those factions. Because we're going to get new stuff. It has to be new stuff. We have to get new stuff because there just isn't enough, you know, there isn't enough crossover that's going to work. I'm excited for that. I actually can't wait for the Resistance Bomber to come out because I never bought one, and it's, I don't want to pay $40 for, you know, plastic, basically.
So I'd like to camp onto that one real quick just to kind of get everyone's opinion on it, though. How do you feel that each individual faction feels? I know that was kind of one of the design goals for FFG's design team, was that each individual faction felt like their own faction. Like, they definitely played their own way and flew their own way, and they were built and had abilities that synergized very differently than we saw in first edition. And from my experience, it definitely feels that way. I definitely feel like when you're playing a rebel player, that you're playing a rebel player, that there's a different, it just feels different. The whole squad flies differently. Their abilities synergize different than if I'm playing against an Imperial player or a Scum player, for example.
Yeah, I know. I definitely agree that they do feel distinctly different at the moment. My main worry is once we actually get Resistance and First Order, that Resistance feels different enough to Rebels, and First Order feels different enough to... I don't want to play First Order and think, yeah, well, I'm playing Imperials with shields.
So. Yeah, I know, that's a fair argument.
Yeah, I agree with Chris on that. That is a worry, but... You know, when we get to the Clone Wars era, it will be distinctly different. I think everything will fall into its own place. The problem is going to be is the design window will close over time. You know, and that's what happened in 1.0, is the design window closed so much that you're just kind of creating factions that are generally the same, but with a few different toolbox pieces. And over time with 2.0, the same thing I think generally will happen, but I think it'll take a lot longer, and I'm hoping that the designers and the developers make that their priority, is to keep them different. Make them so that they're themselves.
I definitely feel like they did a good job making Scum feel different to the other two factions, even more so than it did in first edition. I feel like the Scum and Villainy faction now, it feels better than it did. There was a lot of the times where, even though that was a different astromech, or, you know, and they can now use the same type of astromechs and rebels, you don't feel like you're playing rebels. The crossover where you were like playing Scum Y-wings rather than rebel wiring. Rebel Y-Wings isn't a thing because TLTs are gone, and they function
Thank
very
God
differently.
For that.
But, you know what I mean? Like the distinction between flying a Scum Y-Wing or a Rebel Y-Wing was, where did you want your greens to be? Now, that's right. Not an issue because they use the same droids, so the pool is smaller, it's easier to balance, and the illicit slot is spread further into the other factions, but you get a lot more cards, and I feel like I suppose it might just be because of what's popular at the moment, but like the quad jumper and the escape pod from a shuttle definitely feel very scummy, that you're like forcing your other ships to do stuff like tractor beaming. If you've not seen it yet, like tractor beaming a space tug so that when it moves, it's now in range one of a ship they didn't expect it to be at range one of, because they didn't think you were going to tractor beam your own ship, so that you can then fly the escape craft up to coordinate that ship. And there's loads you can do that just feels scummy.
Yeah, I agree with that fully, but I think the problem you had with Scum in 1.0 is that it came in wave 6. It was introduced as a wave 6 ship, or, you know, what do they put 5 out, I think, something like that on wave 6.
Yeah, and it was the crossover pack. The higher guns was Y-Wing and Zs. Z-95s, Headhunters, Star Viper, and you got the cardboard for the Hawk and the fire spray. Viper.
One of the things though that they did, I think that was the mistake that they made, was they tried to they had to accelerate Scum in 1.0 because you were so far behind, you know, when you had 5 ships or whatever it was, which created the problem I think that Scum created in the game, when you had the 3 jump masters and, you know, the Dengar, the you know, the combinations that you could make were just so brutal because number one, yeah, Dangaroo was ridiculous, but you look at the combinations that they had in that game and where it came to be different, where Scum to me was above and beyond both Imperials and Rebels was in upgrade cards. You know, you could make seven, as Chris says, Zeds viable by putting an upgrade card, an illicit upgrade card on all of them, where they could all just do damage at the time without firing at anything. You know, you could do seven damage to a ship by taking an ion token, you know, and that was at the beginning. I know that they changed it as time went on.
I think there's a game on the Sentrybox stream where I run my old 6Z swarm, and it's a combination of homing missiles and feedback arrays.
Right,
and I beat Imperial Aces with it. I think I've played against like IGs with it and got them. And yeah, the old feedback swarm was good.
You know, because I at a store championship at Dragon's Lair in Omaha, I watched Kinetic Operator's daughter come in like second or third, running seven feedback array Z95s, and that was like the first or second time she picked it up. You know, and it's just like, yeah, you know, there were some issues with Scum. Scum had a balance problem, in my opinion. And they did balance it out as time went on. But, you know, you look at the buses, you know, all the different buses that were put into play. And, yeah, Scum, but I like what they've done with
it. Oh, I forgot about, like, what was the crew member that gave you stress? The party bus. But what was the crew member that gave you the stress? It was
Zuckus.
Orlom? Zuckus?
Yeah. That whole deal. Oh God, I totally forgot about that.
Yeah, you know, the party buses and a lot of those, you know, Brant Seymour brought up in Omaha, and the people would take it elsewhere and people would learn it. And it was just funny, you know, what Scum was. Scum though now in 2.0 is where, in my opinion, it left off in 1.0 in that it's still a better faction than the Rebels in comparison to the extended game. And that's okay. I'm okay with that. It's really hard to play, though,
I would argue that slightly in that I don't think anyone's actually tried properly with Rebels because everyone's riding the wedge train at the moment. Yes. And I
agree, but there is limitations to what you can do with Rebels.
Yeah, I feel like the
funnel neck is going to be very small. If you can find the good list with Rebels, it's going to be one list, and then that's going to be it. But I don't think anybody's found it yet. No, you're right, because a lot of people...
I definitely think the Rebel large base turrets are... the Rebel large bases in general are being underutilized, I think. That there's a lot of power in the VCX-100. The YT-2400, like Dash and Forlom, are good. I think that Han and Lando are strong. Medium bases, Nora in the Ark is really, really good. She's just a powerhouse. And then the U-Wing is really efficient for its points as well. It's really, really good. But it doesn't matter. If all you're going to do is fly trench run triple X-Wings, we're not going to see that, so I don't know.
Yeah, but my thing is right now, though, is if you look at actual 2.0, you got what, BTL A4 Y wings, which don't even have the BTL A4 that you had in 1.0. That was one disappointment I had, was not getting the double shot or whatever, however you want to look at it.
You can do the double shot with veteran turret gunner.
Yeah, but you have to do, there's more you have to add to it, you know. The T-65, which we've already talked about, is wedge, and then the U wing, which in my opinion is kind of underwhelming. Not totally, you know, don't get me wrong.
Dialing those zeros, Sean. Advanced sensors dialing in zeros and just rotating 90 degrees on the spot is pretty ridiculous.
That is really good, but if that's your whole strategy, I don't know exactly what game you're playing at that point. You know, and then, hey, does that come into the fortressing rule?
No, you've moved your ship. You dialed in the zero, and it moved. It rotated 90 degrees. And you've got to, even if it did, you have to do it with your entire list for three turns in a row.
Yeah, so that's true.
I can fortress like three B-wings and then like move one other ship, and I'm not fortressing.
I think here's my point. I think when B-Wings hit Rebels, and what, there'll be Wave 2, I believe, right? B-Wings will be there in Wave 2?
No, so I don't think we're getting... Rebels don't seem to have a release on until, well, assumably Wave 4. Presumably Wave 4.
Well, when you get B-Wings into the game, and what I'm talking about here is 2.0 version, not extended version. Yeah.
Right.
When you get that into the game, there'll be more tools. You know, the B-Wings will be a hard-hitting ship that will assist. I think B-Wings and U-Wings, that's kind of what I'm waiting for at the 2.0 level, being able to play those two types of ships together. And even with BTLA-4s with some ion turrets or whatever, it'll be, you know, it'll add a little bit of depth, but I just don't know if Rebels will keep up with Scum when it comes to being able to compete against Extended. I have seen a swarm. I've seen a swarm that's just unbelievably good, that if everything is going, you know, if things are going well, like a lot of swarms do, you know, it's a pretty good swarm. I saw Quinn play it in the tournament I played in, and I was pretty impressed with it. Still a swarm, you still have to be on your toes, but it's a pretty effective swarm.
Well, one of the things we're, I don't know that we're taking into account yet, too, is at some point in time, we are going to get our first point adjustment.
Yeah, no, so, I agree. Yeah.
And I know some of the things that you're pointing out in Extended feel kind of like a little overpowered in the Extended game. So there's two contributing factors in this, and I kind of want to bring up. One is the fact that we're going to get a point adjustments, and we're going to get standard point adjustments 3 times a year. So some of those things that we're seeing Extended that may be a little over the top may have already been noticed and may get point adjusted to maybe not push them out of the meta, but definitely not going to get all the combinations. And the second one is the one that's really going to interest me the most, is whenever we do see Clone Wars era ships come into the game in Wave 3, we don't know what those tournaments look like. So we don't know that if there's really cool stuff in those two factions that are coming in, that Extended even gets access to them.
No, I think you just hit the nail on the head, because it all depends what Fantasy Flight decides to do. If we're going to see...
I hope they do that, by the way.
If we're going to see the old regional, I don't remember what they call it now, but if we see...
Hyperspace Trials.
The Hyperspace Trials, if we see those being 2.0 only, then it changes everything, you know, then it makes it so that everything's in a box. If it's Extended only, or if it's Extended, then I think you'll see more of what you're talking about. And this is what we kind of talked about off the air, was you'll see more changes quicker. You know, you'll see the app, the point changes and the changes towards how Fantasy Flight wants the game to be, rather than having this open-ended play like we had at the end of, you know, 1.0.
Well, and if they go down that route too, like, we might even get like silly minor things. Like, you might get a really good pilot that comes in at second edition that did not exist in Extended, and hence the Extended players do not have access to that pilot. They have the ship, but they don't have access to that pilot. And I think that's going to be the real telltale one for what direction FFG is planning on going, is when Clone Wars Eras comes out. If that is second edition only and those ships are not legal in Extended events, we're almost playing two separate games.
I do believe that Extended is everything.
Well, it's like, is it?
Everything that will ever be released will be in Extended
format. It's like Legacy.
It's Legacy Magic, effectively.
Yeah. Okay, gotcha.
2.0 is everything that comes in the black packaging.
Oh, and only what comes in black packaging.
Yeah, the things
So they want my hope to kind of force the situation.
Excluding the conversion kits.
Yeah. The talk that we were hearing for what the competitive like system hyperspace events are going to be is there will be a hyperspace format, and that like, it will be called hyperspace. So you'll have in the app, you'll have second edition, extended, and hyperspace as clickable buttons, and then custom after that. And the hyperspace will be 2.0 plus. Or, which is technically the same as saying extended minus, but it means that everything will always be released. So everything that's been released in a black packaging, plus a couple of additional ships.
Yeah, I was going to say, there'll be like a rotation, won't there? Because that's a little bit what I heard too.
Yeah.
So, some extended ships will get rotated into it.
Interesting.
All 2.0 ships are valid. So everything that's released in black, like Chris said, valid. And then there'll be other ships allowed to be played, but it won't be the whole kit. It'll be whatever they choose to be in those factions, which could be a range of, let's say, 5 ships added per faction.
Yeah, I'd guess, if I had to guess, and we're talking about in January when the points adjustment and all of this is supposed to be announced, the Striker will be in hyperspace. We know it's going to come into 2.0 anyway. It's a Disney, it's a new ship that's only just been released. I would guess that the Ark would for the Rebels, because for doing the Ark model for Resistance, so it'll be readily available. Not Resistance, you know what I mean. The Ark, the Republic Ark.
Yeah.
So people have access to it. The Z95, stupid name. The Z95 Headhunter for Scum would be one that I'd guess at. And again, that's because it's been announced for Wave 3 anyway, so you might as well put it into hyperspace because it's going to be included once it hits second edition anyway. And then you're looking at probably like Interceptor, like the movie ships, so B-Wings, A-Wings, all of that will be in Rebels. Because it's a movie ships. So that's where I'd expect it to be.
So now that would be interesting. I like the sound. It's not 100% what I would have been hoping for how they've done it for second edition only. But everything that you just said makes sense. And again, we're not privy. We don't know that that's what they're going to do. But that sounds fantastic. And what that will do is that'll drive the meta to focusing on those ships. And that some of that extended stuff might just kind of fall off to the wayside for a little bit to be only in extended events, and that's kind of the era that everyone's going to focus on.
There's also, and this is playing like devil's advocate massively and putting words into FFG's mouth that aren't necessarily true, but if you want to kill off extended, is there any way to do it quicker than just saying, yeah, we know red line with these combos are broken, but we just don't care, so we're not changing any of those points? Look at how balanced hyperspace is, though. Play hyperspace. Yeah. This is really well balanced. Do what you want in extended, because frankly, we just don't give a shit. But hyperspace is really good.
And that's kind of one of the things I was concerned with. And I know I voiced the concerns as we started on the show, was I don't know how they're going to balance so many ships, so many upgrades, so many crew, like all of the potential upgrades, how they're going to balance the whole entirety of X-Wing 2nd Edition Extended in one first patch. I don't know how you do it. The only way you can really do it is to focus it down. Right. You need to focus it down to a handful of ships, focus in on those, get the points there, and then slowly add to the pool of ships that you know are balanced and fair.
Right. The way that I truly would do it, and once again, this is me, but I would just make it seasons. You have 3 seasons a year. These are the ships that are valid for your seasons. So if you're going to play the season tournaments, season events, here you go. These are the ships that are valid. The 2.0 ships will always be valid. You'll rotate in other ships, and like Chris said, there'll be ships that probably rotate in during release times, like the Ark 170 and things like that. That could end up rotating out until they become a wave ship, so we may not see them for another 2 years. And I think that that's the way you keep the game fresh. At the same time,
I know I was bringing up the Magic the Gathering kind of model, but you sort of make it like a standard event.
Yeah.
The ships come in, they're good for a certain period of time, and then they rotate out, and then something else rotates in to take its place. I think that's a fantastic idea until we get everything to second edition.
Yeah, following on from what Sean said there, I can see it going both ways. You can say that the Rebel Arc 170 will be in hyperspace, because they're doing the model anyway and they want to sell as many of them as they can. So we might as well try and sell some to the people who bought Rebel conversion kits and didn't already have one. But equally, I can see it going the other way of the Rebel Arc isn't in extended. The Republic one is. If you want to fly Arcs, buy Republic faction. I can see it going both ways.
That makes sense. They are a business at the end of the day, so you might as well play the business side of it too. But That's the key thing to me is that I don't think they should do anything with extended. Extended to me is just it was a gift, you know. Yeah. Fantasy Flight gave a gift to X-Wing players, probably to themselves by letting the game be viable. You know, where people wouldn't rage quit and walk away because they have to buy all new stuff. But at the same time, you just leave it as an extended game and let people play it however they want to play it and focus in on what really needs to be focused in on, which is hyperspace 2.0, whatever other formats they decide to come out with. Put out more quick builds so that you can do more with quick build events and then make it, you know, the best thing it's going to be is that these events is how are they going to do hangar bays? How are they going to do the side events? With the way, well, extended could be a side event tournament. You know, you could have it at Gen Con, side event tournament or wherever, and people just have fun with it. You know, beauty of it is there's more options today than there was when I was TOing for 4 years. And that's the beauty of it right now is options. You have so many options, and in the app, you can make up your own stuff and just go with it. And it's a blast, you know. It's Fantasy Flight put themselves in a good position with how they did this. A lot of people I know don't like it. I've known people that are good players, good community people that have quit the game completely because they don't like extended, and everybody seems to be playing extended. Or if they were playing 2.0.
That's just naive. But
I understand that. I totally understand that. But at the same time, we live in a world where there's thousands of other games to play. So if you're not going to enjoy a game, you know,
I get that, Sean, but those people will be buying X-Wing again come January once Hyperspace is out.
And I agree. I'm not arguing that fact.
Yeah.
Realize that format that they despise isn't the one that FFG is focusing on.
And so I put a post on the Facebook group because I knew we were going to be talking about this today. And I put a post up just like before Resistance and all of that comes out, what are people's thoughts? And Travis from the Carolina Crates posted on it. The core game's great. Extended has its problems and he's holding out hope for hyperspace and dynamic points is an amazing feature. And I just threw a post on there as well. It's like, because they've got these dynamic points and because you can like change the formats and everything like that, and if hyperspace is going to be that 2.0 plus that they might rotate, that just gives you hope. So yeah, if they're going to rebalance 3-4 times a year, whatever, it doesn't matter if Hyperspace comes out and it's the worst format we've ever seen, and literally you're allowed one X-Wing against two TIE fighters, and that is Hyperspace format. So, oh well. I'll probably carry on playing Extended for another 3 months when they'll change it. These people aren't stupid. They like making money. If Hyperspace comes out and it bombs, they'll just change it. And they can. And that's an amazing feature of what 2.0 lets us do. And even if extended isn't the format they want, it was a bit glib to say, you know, they'll just ignore Red Line. All they have to do is they'll make a change, and it can be a sweeping change, and then if they like overdo it, the sine wave will come the other way, and eventually it'll get right. But I don't think they're going to put 100% effort into worrying about it if it's not going to be in a hyperspace.
Hearing about the hyperspace thing, because of course I'm not paying nearly as much attention to the forums and all the rumors and stuff floating around there. Hearing that has inspired much more hope on where this game's going to go competitively, because that sounds exactly with what they should do. Take the extended game. If you want to play it that way, we'll spend a little bit of attention if we've got a little bit of thing here that's off, like Red Line or something like that. But we're really focusing on these 22 ships that are currently available in the hyperspace ones. We're going to get these ones right, and slowly as we add more ships, add in. It's exactly what I think that they should do. I think I'm super encouraged, and I'm looking forward to seeing what that format looks like. Does anyone else have any other observations for second edition, or do we feel that we've wrapped this one up?
I mean, pretty much everything's been covered and all, and I don't really know that there's anything left really to cover except Whisper sucks.
So I do have one question.
Of course.
What's the tournament in April? I can't think of it right now, in Illinois. Is that going to be a hyperspace regional or a hyperspace?
Are you talking about Adepticon or?
Yeah, thank you. Adepticon, yeah. Is that a hyperspace?
It'll probably be one of the hyperspace cups. I would guess that, because they said there was like hyperspace plus events, which are the hyperspace cups, which are national equivalents, I believe they were. Okay. But I have to be honest, Sean, I've not looked at any of the big events because I can't travel to them.
No, I get that. Yeah. I get that. My question is, and this is just, there's a point to this. So you have a hyperspace, either, what is it, a trial or a cup or whatever you're going to call it. So you have an event that they haven't announced the format for that happens in April that people have already bought tickets for to go to. That's an interesting thing to me, because a lot of people that are going to go that have bought tickets, and I've been there before. I've been to Adepticon. 1 year I worked it, 1 year I played it. And there's a lot of people that go, they plan, they do all this. But without announcing how the hyperspace anything is going to work, you still have a lot of people signing up, spending money, you know, to go to these tournaments. So I don't think it matters what the format's going to be. People are still going to go. They're still going to play. They'll bitch and moan when it's something that they don't like or whatever. But at the same, it'll be, you know, and I've been there myself at that tournament. But I think that that's when we'll really see. April is probably going to be our first good test of what X-Wing is going to be in the future. You know, and as they as they announce more, once they announce what format or whatever, you know, how it's going to work, we'll be able to see that. And hopefully they announce it sooner than later so that people that don't want to play in that type of tournament can decide to not go and get refunds or whatever, and other people that want to do it can play.
Well, and I'd argue, too, that it wouldn't be the first time that FFG made monumental changes to the game prior to, like, a regional season, for example. Like, they've done that in the past. They've made giant FAQs right before.
I don't know that it matters what format they actually say it is. As long as they give people like six weeks notice, you know, we'll know. It was announced that we'll know in January that's going to be the big balance changes and everything. So I don't feel like it really matters. Whatever it is, people will min-max it as much as they can, because it's going to be a high level tournament that people are going to try and win. And
right.
I don't know that it matters if it's 2.0 only, extended, some hybrid, some event-specific format that they only ever do for that one thing, like they did for the Coruscant, where you got the free upgrade thing. People are still going to go, play it, push the ships around, have fun, and try and min-max the hell out of it to win.
So I do have a question. On the Adepticon website, when you're purchasing tickets and everything, do they not have anything, like any information on there saying what the tournament play is going to be? Because I know, like, for Nova Open, whenever you're signing up for your tickets, they've got like a little synopsis of what you're signing up for. You know, whether like Hunger Games, they'll tell you it's like a you get one ship kind of deal, and they give you a little bit about what you're actually the event is that you're signing up. I didn't know if Adepticon has that or not.
They do. It's no different than any other con when it comes to it.
But it doesn't have any information as to what the big tournament is going to be there.
Well, FFG has system even officially open. Released
It's a system open on the 30th and a hyperspace trial on the same day. That's kind of interesting. Oh, that's
and that's kind of the generic
system
answer.
Open finals. Yeah. So it's a system open qualifier. Let's see. I'm on the page right now, so give me a sec.
I can't remember exactly.
29th is a qualifier for System Open. The 30th is a System Open Finals along with a Hyperspace Trials.
Yeah, so System Opens are separate to Hyperspace. I believe, I may be wrong in this, but I believe System Opens are extended format.
So here's this. So here's the description Chad's talking about. So for the hyperspace trials, this is all it says. Players compete in six-round Swiss tournament earn prize tickets for unique prizes and world championship invite for the winner. System open description is says details coming soon.
Okay.
So that wouldn't be the first time. Like Adepticon got really, really big with the GW style tournaments, like Warhammer 40K, fantasy styles. It would not be the first time that they've had a large national sized tournament that they didn't know what rules system they were going to be playing under when they got there. Well, so those guys are kind of experienced with that.
Here's the qualifier. It says players compete in a 6-round Swiss tournament, 200 point bill. Players with 5 or more wins advance to the finals on Saturday, earn prize tickets for wins, and redeem for prizes. That capacity is 256. So if you want to go, that's the generic information. This is the generic, and then there's still 91 seats remaining. So they've sold, 160 seats, pretty much, already.
And this is November, by the way. Yeah, they still got a long way to go.
Right.
So yeah, no, they're not going to know. They wouldn't even be privy to that information now, and they're probably not going to be the ones. They probably have someone running it for them, for official FFG tournament like that. So my suspicion would be they've slated the time, the space, and the amount of room that they need at the venue, but they don't know how the tournament's going to be run because they haven't announced it yet.
Even if it's just an extended system open, which I think there's something in the back of my mind that I'm pretty sure it's already been announced what all of the system opens are extended. I might be wrong, but even if I'm not wrong and it is extended, you can't really plan off that because you don't know what the points changes are going to be until January anyway.
Right.
That's what I'm saying. I don't think it... Well, obviously it doesn't matter. They've sold 170 tickets and no one knows what they're going to be able to fly until January. People want to play X-Wing because it's a fun game.
Right.
Exactly.
But not knowing, though, I think that might be why it hasn't completely sold out yet, though.
Well, so I was told by a man wiser than me once that there are two types of time, and there's regular time and then there's gamer time. And gamer time progresses in two phases. One, the super non-procrastinating, I need to get this done now. And then real gamer time, which is the event's in 3 weeks, I need to buy my ticket right now. So you will have those folks who are going to try to get on the wait list at the very last minute to get into that event.
Yeah. But see, one other thing I will point out, though, is I've gone to several different tournaments and everything, and I've seen where people show up with multiple lists, get a feel for the room, and then pick which list they want to fly right then and there. So there probably are a lot of people who they don't care if it's extended or if it's 2.0. They're going to show up with enough stuff to run multiple lists, and then they'll make a decision come game day what they're flying.
Yeah.
Dirty bastards. I've seen that happen too.
the two-day events, I think a lot of people have a strategy for day two. Day one is usually pretty heavily packed with high-level players. Day two is high-level players that are wandering around, but they already know what they're going to play.
Yeah, you would hope that.
Well, I've seen it with a lot of the high-level players that we know actually out there that do that. And they still come with the same thing that they had planned on playing anyway.
All right, so I think that's going to cover it. I think we had a good little chat. I'm really, really looking forward to January now to see what changes come for the game that we love. So that's going to do it for the main topic and for the show. We're going to go ahead and move out to close out the show right after this. All right, so that is going to do it for episode 12, The Whispering Mandalorian. We never even actually gave a definition as to the reason why our title was what it was, but it is, of course, there's a gigantic tournament in Australia that has just taken place, and of course, Boba Fett and Whisper were the two most taken ships in that event. So it does seem that that is where the current extended meta is going. We did have a question that is...
I don't know if that's factually accurate there, Ed, so you might want to retake that. Those are two popular ships in the meta.
Okay.
In the current meta. So I don't know if you want to commit yourself to that because I don't know if that's true.
You know what? It wouldn't be the first thing that I've said on audio or in this case on camera that was wrong. I'm so used to it, but at this point, I'll just stick with it. If I'm wrong,
I'll leave it in then. It's okay.
Yeah.
Like when he states that he's played a few games, it's like that's being a little generous by a game or two.
It is. Anyway, so I know we do have a lingering question from our last show that was still left to be answered. So, Chad, I know that's kind of your duty, and I know you've pulled it up, so have at it.
All right. So, yeah, we didn't actually get around to posting for questions for this episode because we're not really recording on the regular day and everything.
Yeah. Thanksgiving does kind of shoot a recording schedule in the foot now, doesn't it?
Yeah. So we did have a question come in a little bit late from the last episode. This was Harrison Sharp. Wanted to know, what is the ship you least want to see across the table and why?
Okay, so I have the least amount of experience here, but I'll shoot real first. A Defender. Holy cow, are those things hard to bring down now. My goodness. I mean, in all the other games that I played against Chad, at least I didn't feel like there was a ship that was like just damage just bounced off that ship. But holy cow, is that thing tough. So I'm a little wary when I see a Defender down. That sucker can take a beating.
You
go, Sean. You go.
Defender, I'll tag onto that. Defender scares the crap out of me in this game. But my 1A is anything carrying a bomb at this point. For whatever reason, I pretty much fly right into bombs. So I got to get better at that. But anything with bombs scares the crap out of me right now.
Target priority number one.
I'll go with a Sworn carrying Whisper or a Sworn carrying Reaper. I feel like that's a tough nut to crack at the moment and just gives you headaches on taking double stress or focusing down the trying to get to a Sworn carrier and all of that kind of stuff. It's just one more headache than I need.
All right, Chad, that leaves you.
So out of the games I've been playing and everything, a well-equipped Vader can be a very big threat, especially if people know how to fly it, which obviously Ed doesn't, so I'm not too worried about him when I play.
I can almost feel the shots coming.
He said a well-equipped one. He didn't even take Supernatural. I don't know why we let him on the show.
That's going to change.
Yeah, that is going to change. We need to get a new host, or maybe we'll just boot him. I'll become the new host, and we'll just pick up some rando for our fourth seat. You know, somebody who actually plays the game. But
at this point, you could probably replace me with a soundboard of just things, just repeating sounds, and nobody would ever notice the difference. I haven't played games this week. Move on.
I just saw the light bulb appear above Chris's head. It's like, you can do that.
Oh, dear. As long as at this juncture is on the same board, I think we'll be okay.
To get behind the scenes once, I do remember we had a segment that failed. On my old computer, we had recorded a 45-minute segment, and it had failed halfway through, and everything jammed up. And I do recall debating, pulling sound bites from other shows, because I had some of it but not all of it, to fill in the holes. And then we just decided on the end to record. We were up until 2 o'clock in the morning that night recording on the old show. But I honestly debated, can I soundboard this and nobody's ever going to notice the difference? Anyway, so that's going to do it for this one. Sean, always good to talk to you, my friend.
Good to be here. Hopefully I'll be more consistent.
Yeah, hopefully.
Last one was just a bad morning.
Yeah, no, totally understand. Chad, you've got some stuff to go through, so always good to talk to you, my friend. I feel like I've seen quite a bit of you I've seen you twice this week, and I'm talking to you on the show.
I know. Unfortunately, you haven't played any games this week, so.
No, not this week, but I'll make up for that on Tuesday.
You better. I will. But yeah, I want to say thanks to all the fans. Our multiple ways you can reach us and listen to us. I mean, hit us up on Facebook, Lack of Focus. You know, always check out to see when we're putting up for our questions, even though we kind of missed the ball on that one this episode. There is the lackoffocuspodcast@gmail.com. If you just want to send us an email, like a little private thing or whatever, you don't want everybody on Facebook to see what you're saying, that's cool. I'm going to send us lists to go over, anything like that. You know, we'll feel free to, you know, give it a rundown, give you our thoughts on it. Hey, that guy up in Canada who's footing the bill for everything, you know, he really, really appreciates it when people go to patreon.com/lackoffocus and even just kick in a buck a month or, you know, whatever. He really appreciates it. We really appreciate it. Give it a shot, you know. It
absolutely helps support the show.
Definitely. For YouTube, we got the Dice Hate channel there that's supporting our videos and everything. You know, That's that guy, you know, up in Canada who, you know, Patreon wouldn't be a bad thing to help out a little bit there. Audio formats were everywhere. So pretty much if you listen to download audio podcasts and everything, you'll find us there. Give us a download. Give us a listen. YouTube, like, share, subscribe, comment, all that fun stuff that they tell you to do.
Yep, you know, it helps with the analytics. It really does.
It does. I mean, if you want to go on every YouTube video we've posted and comment, Ed needs to play more games, I completely support that.
Please do. He's right. I can't argue.
Please do. Prove me right. You might not want to prove me right about the Whisper thing, but prove me right about Ed needs to play more games.
All right. Thanks, Chad. Chris, of course, always good to talk to you, my friend.
Oh, it's always fun, even when we do this on a Sunday evening, so I've got no time to get this edited and put out in time for Tuesday morning. So this is going to be a busy Monday.
You'll make it work.
It's all right. I'll just have to just ignore the baby. She'll be fine. She's one now. She's good.
Hey, I was just going to say, yeah. I was going to squeeze that in. You are happily a father for 1 year as of the recording of this show. Congratulations.
Oh, it's been an interesting year. I've been nowhere near as productive as I expected to be. You know, I'll just be sat at home with a baby. I'll get articles written, videos made, painting done. It's going to be easy. Yeah, fun times.
Surprising how that doesn't happen.
Yeah, who needs sleep?
Oh, me at the moment. I need lots. But on the note of following on from Chad there, I did want to say a big thank you to all of our patrons. So Sean Dorsey, thank you. Ed Horn, thank you. Michael Duke, Tony Adams, Peter McIntool. I've butchered that. McTool. Oh, man, why can't I read? I've got these stupid glasses on. It's to stop my eyes from getting sore.
It's the gamer glasses that are doing it. Those of you who are not watching on YouTube.
Mankatwol. I'm so sorry, Peter. Just unsubscribe. Just take your money back. Ronnie Hergert, Dice Hate Productions, and Jerry Holt. A big thank you to all of you. You help me not lose as much money every month as I otherwise would.
Yay!
And yeah, I'm looking forward to hopefully the next show. There's rumors going around that Resistance might have dropped, or Wave 2 might have dropped. So maybe we'll have like new toys in hand.
New toys in hand and new toys to talk about. Can't wait. All right, so that is going to do it for episode 12. Thank you guys so much for joining us. And as always, fly casual. Thank you once again for joining the Lack of Focus X-Wing podcast. Check out Dice Hate Productions for all of the latest episodes, and we'll be looking forward to seeing you again next episode.